The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Listen again anytime, 24/7. Visit our podcast page at LarryMarino.com. Sunday morning, newsmakers, AM 870, The Answer.
Well, these are certainly interesting times. People who normally would be away from each other, you know, at work during the day and then home at night, are together 24/7, and it's going on for weeks. What does this all mean? My guest, Dr. Justin Lehmiller, is joining us, a research fellow at the Kinsey Institute. He is also author of the book, Tell Me What You Want. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Certainly the dynamics have changed, and usually we split during the day, get back together in the evening, but that has changed, hasn't it?
Yes. So under these current circumstances, we see that people are spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with their live-in partners. And people aren't used to seeing those their partners quite that much. And this is a situation that's bound to produce some difficulties and some conflict because people suddenly have to navigate being with their partner all the time in tight spaces.
While most crimes are down, spousal abuse and things like that are up.
Yes, and that's the dark side of a lot of these lockdowns and quarantines that has not really been fully explored in the media, is that some people are in unsafe relationships where they have a partner who might abuse them physically or emotionally. So it's really important for people who are in those situations to remember and recognize that help is still available, even in these difficult times, and to not be afraid to seek help.
Do you think it comes down to extremes that, some couples who are stuck with each other are going to end up getting divorces? Others, it may lead to a baby boom, or we just don't know.
So this is one of those things where we don't know for sure what's going to happen. And that's why some of my colleagues and I are conducting research and collecting data right now to try and get a better sense of what the overall patterns actually are. However, we suspect that this is a situation that's going to affect different people in different ways. For some couples, it's an opportunity for them to create a new intimacy, to really get to know their partner on another level or to connect in new ways. However, for other people, this is going to lead to a lot of conflict and disagreement because they're not used to seeing each other all the time in and being stuck in a tight space. So we might see a baby boom, you know, for some couples who develop that greater intimacy. But for those couples who have a lot of difficulty navigating this, it could potentially lead to breakups and divorces.
You sometimes hear about that, the baby boom after, let's say, a power outage on the East Coast for a day or so. But this is going on for weeks at a time. That seems like a very different dynamic.
Yes, this is a very, very different circumstance. And when you look at the data on blackouts and natural disasters, you find that, such as tropical storm warnings and so forth, you see that some of those events are linked to baby booms. But that's because they're very time-limited events where people for a very short period of time might not have anything else to do, but life will go back to normal in relatively short order. However, in this case, there's so much uncertainty. We don't know how long this is going to last. And there's also these huge economic impacts on everybody and on families. And people don't know if their jobs are going to be there after all of this. They might not be getting their paycheck. And so a lot of people are going to be feeling too much stress and anxiety to get busy and to be thinking about planning a new baby or expanding their family at this time. People, when they are consciously planning and choosing to expand a family, they take into account economic considerations. Unintended pregnancies, that's a whole other story. But when people are deliberately choosing to expand their family, they're taking the economic factors and their overall level of certainty and comfort in the world into account in making those decisions. And in this case, there's a lot of uncertainty. And so I would suspect people are going to be very cautious.
Add to that a generation that has been saddled with student loans, and albeit they're letting people pause right now on that, but still, we're hearing that there's a generation out there that has deferred home ownership, that has deferred getting married and having families because they have these $40,000 to $80,000 loans on their backs.
Right. And so this is another factor that is probably going to lead to further delay in all of those outcomes that you're talking about, whether it's home ownership, marriage, having children. So what we're seeing is that this younger generation keeps getting hit with a number of different factors that are just leading them to delay everything further and further.
You are a research fellow at the Kinsey Institute. What advice do you have for people who, I don't want to use the word are cooped up with the other person, but let's just put that out there so you can kind of tell where we're going with this, in order to let things breathe a bit?
I think there are two really important things here. One is to make sure that you're giving each other some space. So make sure that each partner has some breathing room. So for example, maybe you take turns going out for a long walk so that the other person has some quiet alone time to do whatever it is that they want to do, whether it's take a long bath, work on a hobby, talk to one of their friends virtually. There are all kinds of things that they could do here that can still allow them to work on themselves. The other part is to really make an effort to connect with your partner, to have some quality intimate time where you're not just talking about the pandemic and everything else that's going on that's bad in the world right now. So remember that you can still have a fun date night, even if it's just at home and you can't go anywhere. So take the time to really set the scene and have that opportunity to connect with your partner, to have that quality time.
Dr. Justin Lehmiller, thank you so much. Research fellow at the Kinsey Institute. We appreciate you being on with us.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
AM 870, The Answer.
My guest is Véronique Duruget. She is a senior research fellow at the McCarris Center, George Mason University. We thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Our topic today is price gouging laws, aid hoarders, harm the rest. Walk us into this topic because, you know, we're all out shopping for toilet paper or hand sanitizer. We hear these stories about people charging way more for them. Walk us into this.
So the reason why we see so many empty shelves, and we have seen at the beginning empty shelves and price rising, is simply a supply and demand type proposal. It means that people at the beginning of this crisis were anxious about missing out on some items, and their demand went up quite dramatically. And with the supply staying quite the same, you know, the law of economics means that actually price go up. And the combo of both, which is kind of like people really wanted this and prices going up, makes people anxious. And they often demand that things, change and stay the same and price stay the same. And unfortunately, it's a mistake to cave to these demands because it creates distortions that are worse than the increase in prices in the first place. And but there's another element to this is the fact that actually because the price go up, some companies who usually are not in the business of making these products may actually perceive that there's a profit for them that is worth shifting their resources towards making this product. And this is how you've seen several companies really radically shift their production towards things that were needed, like the TV company, the electronic company Sharp, starting making face masks. So I think this is a very, very, very important aspect too. And they're all kind of part of the same thing.
Right.
Like there's
right.
Where the price, their signal to companies, to those who make them, that it's time to jack up their supply, but also to those who don't make them, that maybe it is a good idea right now to make some of these products or to go out of your way to actually bring those products to consumers.
So let me hear what you believe in. Are you for the government setting price controls, or are you for letting it wide open? Because I mentioned there's this story of this one guy who admitted that he bought up a truckload of hand sanitizer and he later apologized for it. But You know, in the free market capital, why not go out and buy up a truckload and sell it for what you can get?
Yeah, why not? I mean, the guy was an entrepreneur. He took a big risk, because what if people were actually not interested? What if actually people had decided that soap was good enough and that was it? He would have ended up with a stock of unsellable hand sanitizer. And so, I mean, he took a risk. And but the more important reason why I'm against those anti-price gouging regulations is precisely because when you let the price go up, the supply will follow. It will increase. And also the demand will go down precisely because the price is high. There's a limit of how much you're willing to pay for that hand sanitizer before you actually decide that soap is good enough. And those two things together make price go down. And more importantly, they keep product on the shelves. Right. The problem with anti-price gouging regulations is that actually they can themselves create shortages.
Yeah. On the one hand, you can understand, though, how some in society think it's shameful that an individual would hoard or stock or buy up for personal gain the hand sanitizer when there might be someone's life saved if they hadn't hoarded it. If we all didn't go out and buy toilet paper, there'd be more for everyone. That's the other side of it. Rather than right now, I still see bare shelves. And if you want to buy toilet paper, you can't.
Well, but the best way to prevent people from doing these, this massive buyout of toilet paper is to let the price go up. I completely understand the emotion, especially in time of crisis where you're anxious about many other things, right? But for us economists, the role that we can play, and we're trying to play in every crisis, because this is a conversation we have each time, is that actually higher prices for goods that are now available is better than prices that stay the same but shelves that stay empty.
Well, a good conversation. Véronique Duroger, who is a senior research fellow at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University, thank you so much for being with us on the program. Interesting discussion. We're all learning in real time, aren't we?
Thank you. Yes, we are.
Take care
now.
Thank
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
Up next, the Barack Lurie Show, hosted by attorney Barack Lurie. The very popular Barack Lurie Show is filled with stimulating conversation and a fresh point of view on politics, religion, and the law. Next on AM 870, The Answer.